And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 7, I believe. Not having prepared that ahead of time. Real professional-like. And this is the new DCU week 3. Wow. What a week.
And you're Chris Mosby, and I'm Caleb Drew.
That's right. I'm Chris Mosby, yeah. I was prepared and then not prepared all at the same time there. Sorry about that, everyone. But, yes, what a week of books.
By the way, it's very cool to hear that there are actually everyone's out there. So whoever's listening, thank you. We really appreciate it.
We got good comments on the Facebook group. We have a actual live non-spamming individual on our forum now that's posting, who apparently just was doing research on the interwebs and came upon our podcast. So that's a good thing. And as soon as I remember what his name is, I will mention it.
It was Steve
something. Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry Steve.
That's okay. Yeah, well, he might not want us telling his last name anyway, so you know, he doesn't get mauled by anybody. But anyway, yeah, Steve is his name. He's on there and posted something today, in fact, and now we just got to get Caleb on there, and we might even get him a Twitter before we're done. So, but anyway, yeah, let's go over that real quick while I'm thinking of it. TalesFromTheLongBox.com/forums is on there. I have added some enhancements to it where I don't have to manually accept people when they're in there to keep the spammers out. I got some things that do some of that for me. So we should it's pretty good. Also, if you want to send us an email, it's podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. And there's the Facebook group, of course. And I think that's pretty good. And of course, the actual website, talesfromthelongbox.com. Okay, well, now that's out of the way.
Yeah, the feedback on Facebook has been great. Thanks.
Yeah, it has been. Actually, a couple people, I think one said the other day that you actually helped him pick out what books he wanted to get from the new 52. So it's good stuff.
It is. It is. And I just want to say that I got at least one coworker who's listening here.
Oh,
so,
cool.
appreciate him dialing in. He asked me not to mention his name.
Oh, okay.
And I have another one who
he's a closet fan, huh?
He's a closet fan. And I got another coworker who can't seem to pull his head out long enough to read the two comic books I gave him. So hopefully,
yeah.
He will.
Yeah, I've been browbeating my coworker to get him on too, just to read a couple of them, and he's actually going to read all the ones I got, and so that should be interesting. Might even have him on the podcast because he is a self-confessed hater of comic books. So, though he has read some Punisher and whatnot, so
no wonder he hates comic books. Okay, no,
yeah.
I'm kidding. Punisher's great. I love
the new one. Is pretty good, but yeah. Okay.
I kid because I love. All right.
All right. On we go.
Week 3.5 of.
Yes. Day After Tomorrow is the Superman number one. I'm looking forward to that.
Dang.
See what that's going to be like. All right.
Okay.
Start off. Top of the list, alphabetical order. Batman number one.
Almost by far the best first issue of a comic book I've ever read in my comic book reading life.
Wow.
That was awesome. I mean,
yes.
New reader friendly. The art was incredible. It's not Polito. It's what's his name? Another
Capullo.
Capullo from another
long artist of Spawn.
Oh yeah. Amazing story. The dialogue is great. Everyone is in character. Damian is even less of a prick than we were talking about last week from Batman and Robin.
Yes.
He's a little jerk, but that's, you know, he's just, he almost seems like a 10-year-old jerk. The only one who didn't get any dialogue, it seemed, was Jason, but not Jason.
Tim.
Tim, thank you. God, why come I can't remember names tonight. Whatever. Yeah. I love that book. I like the new characters they're introducing. That March guy who's gonna be running for mayor.
Mm-hmm. I think they mentioned, because there was a healthy debate on Facebook about detective and this and how they fit. And Paul French from the Tales from Long, not Tales from Long, it's from the Legion of Substitute Podcasters podcast, had a lot of good things to say to kind of put it in perspective. And I personally still think Detective Comics is earlier than this, but that's just my take on it. You know, everybody has their different take on it. So, but anyway, go ahead.
I do too. I agree with you on that. I think Paul's observation is on point, but
mm-hmm. it makes sense.
It makes sense, but I'm not certain whether they fit together like clear puzzle pieces. I really don't. I like this Batman better than I did the one in Batman and Robin. I liked it as well as the one in Detective. Mm-hmm. The Alfred in this was great. I mean, everyone got time on screen in this book.
Yes.
And no one was crowded out. They didn't have to add extra pages. So this was a 20-page book at $3.
Pages is really good.
Yes. Amazing comic. I was telling you, this is one I was telling you yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out and buy a couple extra copies. I don't care if they're second, third, fifth print. I don't care. And give them to people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's my review. It's five long boxes out of five. And I would buy more copies.
Yes. I gave this a 5+ out of 5. This totally blew me out of the water. It's just awesome. This is the way Batman should be. He's still dark, but not dark enough. I love the cover.
Yes.
It's even better than the promo art that they were showing. Scott Snyder really put this out of the park. And, you know, as much as I like Detective Comics, and, you know, like I've said in the past, a lot of people have problem with Tony Daniels writing, which it's not that big of an issue, is a problem for me as it is for other people, but this kind of shows the caliber level of Scott Snyder's work. And to tell you the truth, after reading this, it makes me want to read even his vampire work, that American Vampire that he does for Vertigo, which I'm just so sick of vampires. I mean, I didn't like vampires before the the Twilight stuff, but you know, I'm just kind of tired of them. But I think I might even read that now because this is just so good.
He made a fan, obviously, of you. I mean,
absolutely.
I know that there's a bunch of issues in trade of that book.
Yeah, and he's got something else with I think IDW called. Damn it! What's the name of that? Anyway, continue. Well, I figure that out.
No, I Scott Snyder. The dialogue for all, you know, the whole Bat family was spot on. I the only thing I didn't like, and it's not a huge deal, and I never pictured Dick Grayson being that much shorter.
Yeah, they talked about that on I think it was Bleeding Cool mentioned that, and I didn't even, to tell you the truth, I didn't even notice it until I saw that. Oh. But yeah, he is like towering over the rest of them.
Yeah. And during, you know, Dick Grayson's run as Batman, which we will talk about a little bit later in this podcast, mm-hmm. You know, no one ever said, "Hey, boy, you're a midget compared to how you used to be." Mm-hmm. I don't remember that ever coming up. So he must have, you know, comparable height.
Yeah,
to Bruce Wayne.
But. Yeah, it didn't really seem like that much in the past.
It was dramatic in this one, though. I mean, you have to admit. I mean,
and it seems like I read one Batman Incorporated where they were actually standing next to each other talking to Gordon, and he was a lot thinner and shorter, but not as short as they showed in there. Oh, and by the way, that other creator won't work his image, and it's called Severed. I'm not even sure what it's about. But that's probably a horror book from the look of the cover. But anyway, just one of the things out there.
He did the Swamp Thing book that we talked about 2 weeks ago too. So
yes, he did. That is correct.
So which was good. I mean, I don't think either you or I like raved on it, but it certainly I don't think either you are bagged on it either.
No, no, it was good. It's just I just don't have real any interest in that character, so it you know, that blunted the effect of it for me. But it was still interesting enough that I probably will actually look again. So.
Yep. And this book itself could also go into that conversation we had a little bit last week when Murray was on,
mm-hmm.
and what we've had on Facebook about the T and T plus and all that, because yes. there is definitely a moment of gore in this book with that guy with the knives all stuck inside in him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as graphic as Detective, for instance.
Yeah. And when we get to the Red Hood book, remind me to bring that up again, because I saw something on Bleeding Cool that was kind of interesting. It has to do with Starfire. But anyway, go ahead.
And you know what I did in this book? What I've started to do is I'm trying to look for the purple hooded lady. This was a tough one. This Where's Waldo was difficult.
Yeah, I don't. Oh well, hell, there she is right there.
Ah, screw you.
Well, I to tell you the truth, I haven't even really been looking.
Oh, I have. Page one, right there.
Right there. I saw it as soon as I opened it up. Oh, there she is.
Oh, okay, fine, whatever.
No, I mean, I might have, because Bleeding Cool is like right before the comics even come out, they post all the images. I might have had it in my head before, so.
Okay, I was trying to look for her like all hidden on rooftops and in windows and stuff, you know, because there's been those complaints where they've photoshopped her into books and. Capullo put her in there. I mean, she is clearly a part of the scene. There, it's not like someone said, "Oh, hey, mm-hmm. go ahead and just paste this character in there." So
yeah, it does does look like it's part of it for sure.
Yeah. So great art. I hope Capullo can keep up. I don't know what his pace was on Spawn.
No idea. I know it was getting late there towards the recently, but it might be because he was starting to work on this.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I hope he can do – I hope he's a 12-issue-a-year guy. I would love to see him continue on this book because they're a good team. They obviously have some – he and Snyder obviously have some synergy.
Yeah, and I've heard that some of them – well, like Paul Levitz is doing with the Legion, having Walt Simonson coming in and do an issue, they might be putting in fill-in issues – you know, in between to kind of help with that. So we'll have to see, which is a smart way to do it instead of like, you know, at the last minute and having three artists on one book. So
we're looking at you, Mr. Terrific.
Oh yeah, that's right. Three artists.
Not looking at you as the case may be. But I haven't seen this book on the list. I've been keeping up on it on either Bleeding Cool or on Facebook, and I don't remember seeing Batman on the new artist list.
Well,
so.
Hey, you know, maybe he's smart enough to realize that he's got a – which makes me think they've been working – maybe might be working on this longer on some of the other ones. Because to me, some of these books seemed a lot more polished, and it seems like I read that this was a pitch that they had – before him and Tony Bedard, and they like switched books.
Okay.
And then some of the others were like, here, we want you to write this, and here's the characters you're going to write about, and then blah, 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 which is the case of Legion Lost. So.
Well, this was great. The introduction of all the villains in Arkham, that great scene with the Joker,
mm-hmm.
or quote unquote the Joker.
And even Professor Pig from. The Batman, I don't know if you caught that, but the guy with the pig, with the probably a bedsheet over his head, and he's got the name tag says Prof. That's a
I did not – I actually thought he was dressed as a dog.
No, that's actually a pig. That's from Grant Morrison's first arc on Batman and Robin.
Right, with that creepy guy rip people's faces off and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now who was so they're going through and he's saying old villains and he's kicking Clayface to pieces and then it says and new and there's some guy sitting on a cot with glasses on.
You know, I didn't know who. It's funny you should mention that. I wasn't sure who it was and I was looking through the book as you were talking and it just hit me. That might be James Gordon, or whatever. I think it was. Yeah.
Oh, his son. His
yes.
son.
Yes. Okay. Commissioner Gordon's son. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. From. In fact, I think – didn't Snyder write that? Yeah, he did write that.
Right at the end of Detective, right there.
Yeah,
the,
mm-hmm, yeah. With,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that has to be who that is.
Okay, at first I thought it might have been maybe an Arkham. You know, I thought, I know that they occasionally put an Arkham doctor into this jail. Anyhow,
crap.
Great book, top notch. If you're a new reader,
this is definitely good.
I would have skipped Batman, every time it came out, I would skip it. Mm-hmm. But given our circumstances, I thought I got to read it, and I'm going to have it be on my pull list, damn it.
Absolutely. My favorite book of the week by any stretch of the word there. Definitely the best one out of it.
My second five, I thought, I'm not going to get many fives out of this thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Demon Knights, five.
Yeah.
Just blew Demon Knights out of the water.
Yeah, I'd have to say it is definitely good. And I've read it, I must have read it about five or six times by now. I mean, that to me, it's just could not make any more perfect Batman book, I think, that I've read in a long time. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, definitely highly recommend that. Let's see. Next on the list is make sure Birds of Prey. Yeah. And to tell you the truth, I was surprised by this. Now I've read some of this guy's, however the hell you pronounce his last name. I read him when he did Iron Man for Marvel. I liked the art too, but I was actually like this. I didn't think I was going to. There's enough action in it. Canary, Black Canary looks like. Oh, by the way, we're a spoiler podcast, which you probably have already figured out this out by now. I'm still not really fond of her outfit, and it's even different inside than it is on the cover. She's like showing part of her shoulders and whatever. But this had a lot of action in it. That's not showing her shoulders. I thought that was skin, but it's not. But anyway, I like this book. I really do. I gave it where is it? My list is not in order. Oh, yeah, 4 out of 5, I thought. I probably would come back to this. And surprise.
I came close. I almost gave it a 4 as well. It was great.
Really surprised to see Barbara in here, too.
And there's some continuity right there. It talked about how they mentioned that she didn't walk at one point in this book.
Yep.
But there's clearly a connection between her and Diana Lance or Black Canary.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no mention of Oracle.
Yeah.
But she did give her information, though. She supplied her with that picture of Katana.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
And it's Dwayne Swerzinski. Never mind.
Yeah. Jesus Saiz. Yeah, man, it's like, you know. But anyway, yeah, I was actually surprised. this Starling character, from what I've read, she's brand new. I actually liked it. I think this is going to be a good book. And believe it or not, I'm probably going to keep buying it, at least for the foreseeable future or the first arc, whichever comes first. So.
I was surprised as well. Like I said, I gave it 3.5, almost a 4. I couldn't mm-hmm. – something about it that I just couldn't get over that hump there. The art was great. There were lots of Easter eggs for previous readers.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say, okay, we're going to – it wasn't a hard reboot.
No.
More of a soft one.
Mm-hmm.
It was new reader friendly. It introduced all the characters, bam, 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 bam.
Mm-hmm.
It does imply that Barbara Gordon, Batgirl from a couple weeks ago, was somehow connected, but again, still vague about the whole Oracle thing, which I thought was mm-hmm. kind of neat, again, a nice Easter egg.
Mm-hmm.
The scene with Starlin driving into the church I thought was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, that's funny stuff.
I like that the anonymous villain group. They were the cool costumes were. I don't know whether were they. I couldn't tell whether it's supposed to be like see-through or chameleon-like.
Yeah, I think that's what they've had that kind of thing in the Batman books before, where they were completely invisible, and I think that's kind of what that is that it was completely camouflaged where she couldn't even see him. So,
well, cool. I'm on the fence about a second issue, but I'll check out a shelf copy and see what it looks like. It would be a maybe at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I would share it with at this right now. Again, maybe sort of like one of the books from last week. Maybe a Jason Bourne fan or what was that movie? Salt. If someone liked the movie Salt, I might give it to them.
It's good that they've got strong female characters in it, and they didn't feel the need to have them do naughty things like in some other books this week.
Yeah, and by the way, they addressed that point that you made when we were first talking about Birds of Prey as a title. Mm-hmm. Where it says the two characters, well, how does that make a team?
Right.
And she even says it in the book. Diana Lynn says, well, there's only two of us. We can't really call ourselves a team.
Right.
Or words to that effect. So you were spot on there.
Yeah. I'm glad somebody addressed that. So, but anyway, yeah, I liked that book. It was good.
Cool.
Looking forward to the next issue. Alrighty. Next up is Blue Beetle number 1 by Tony Bedard Ig. What kind of name is Ig? I must be Brazil or something. No offense to Ig, but Ig Aguara and Rai Jose. I just barely got into just a little bit into the first run of the Blue Beetle. I don't remember why I quit. But I have to tell you, I'm kind of glad that they've done a little bit of a retelling of the origin, because that way, this is definitely a new reader friendly, because they start from scratch. But I really like this book.
Nothing kind of about it, Chris. I mean,
they did. They redid the origin completely. The same characters, though, just done a little differently. But I really like this. Tony Bedard is good at science fiction, and that's what this is. I'm a big fan of his from his Negation run when he was in CrossGen. Got a new Brotherhood of Evil. If you're a Titan fan, you know what that's about. And you got a character from a old Nightwing, Brutale. I don't know who the guy with the rose on his face is, but interesting.
Who was the wolf one or the?
I have no idea.
Okay.
That bad guy, but I recognize Plasma, Phobia, and Warp.
Mm-hmm.
I was like that Warp character, even though he's bad, and the costumes look better. I don't know who the wolf guy is or the other one. It's an interesting. I'm sure that's some kind of. I don't know. But anyway, nice watching. Always good to watch bad guys fight each other, because you can, you don't have any trouble. You can root for all of them because you don't care who wins.
I thought it was a great book.
Yeah.
4 out of 5. It had a lot of, again, Easter eggs for old readers. But it was definitely a hard reboot. I don't think the Reach was the way they're presenting the Reach in this book, it's almost like it's another version of the Green Lantern Corps, where there's a whole army of these scarabs out there. I think it was always kind of an army, but it seems more organized than it did in the previous run. Unless I dropped the book before it ended, so maybe that's the direction they were going.
Yeah, I saw him interact a little bit with Infinite Crisis. I think they did not like Green Lanterns even back then.
So, oh yeah, that's how the book started. I mean, the Guy Gardner came in and tried to kick his butt. Like issue 1 or 2 of the last.
Oh, year. That's right. I remember that. Yeah. This is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
It was kid friendly. I don't remember there being anything particularly over the top.
No, they kind of do the same mentality they did on Samurai Jack cartoon. It's okay to to rip aliens and robots to shreds. You know, they did the lad a lot in that cartoon. One of my favorite cartoons.
Well, I enjoyed this book. I really did.
I think it's kid friendly. This actually fits the teen, you know, thing on here. So, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Again, they brought his characters back. His two best friends. He brought his mom and dad, and his sister in. Not his girlfriend, but the girl who's his friend. His aunt being her aunt being the big mob person in town. And,
yeah, I didn't even read it that far, but I remember. Oh. I think I remember flipping through trades and seeing that.
So it's again enough there for previous readers that aren't going to feel like totally like that DC discounted mm-hmm. their contribution to making this character popular,
mm-hmm.
but. It is clearly a hard read, but I mean, this is Jaime gets the Scarab in this issue, and that's mm-hmm.
yeah, definitely. And I read he's going to make it where he can't control it as like he could before as much. So that should be there's some conflict there.
Kind of like in the Brave and the Bold cartoon,
mm-hmm.
And also in the Smallville episode.
They've kind of got a vibe from DS9. It looks like where the Scarab's going to have more personality. Than it did.
DS9? Oh, Deep Space Nine. I'm sorry.
Star Trek Deep Space Nine with the Trill and the, you know. That's what it kind of reminded me of. But anyway.
What did that? Wow. That there. Oh, wow.
It just hit me.
What a pull. Jesus.
Yeah. it just hit me because I was looking at that, you know, the last page is him, you know, screaming out the name of the, because that's the name of the beetle. The Scarab, right. And it just all of a sudden hit me that that's a lot like that. So I think that's going to work. I think.
I'm going to pick up a copy when I get to the store this week.
We forgot to add in Murray's on that.
Oh, wow.
We'll go back and backtrack for just a second here. We got Murray gave. Batman a 4 out of 5 out of 5, and said this is what a Batman book should be like. He might almost put it on his pull list even, he said. Liked it, you know, the humor in the dark in it. Birds of Prey gave it a 3 out of 5. So it's been a couple of days since he read it because he just sent this a couple of hours ago. Well, he wants to know what happens. He's curious. Not desperate for the next issue, but curious. Blue Beetle, 4 out of 5. So glad the book is back. He loved it. Basically what we said. Everything about the book from the voice of the characters, the script, exactly the way I want it to be. So, yeah, really good stuff there.
Maybe we should invite him back again. Okay.
Yeah, we should. Hey, a regular member even. I'd be okay with that. You hear that, Murray? Open invitation. Come back anytime.
Bada bing. That means you got to be available on Sundays.
Well, you know.
Well, except when we aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Except for when the weather hits. But, you know, we're going to work on that. All right. Next one up, if I am not mistaken, is... I got too many tabs open. Captain Atom.
Captain Atom.
By one of our favorite writers, J.T. Krull. Now...
J.T. Krull.
With art by Freddie Williams, the third, which I have met, and he's a really nice guy. I like his work. I tell you what, I like this a lot better than Green Arrow. But, let's see. Okay, now I got to get my notes back open.
While you're organizing your thoughts, I gave it 3.5.
My computer just went flaky on me, so I was trying to open all this crap. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Mm-hmm. I like you, surprised. It was not bad. It was a little clunky at parts. Krull loves his exposition. He really does. But the art I actually thought was a little odd. But I'm curious. I want to see more. I was a little disappointed. I know it's something that they just threw in to the Captain Atom mythos, but when he absorbed so much energy, he used to time jump. Mm-hmm. And I always kind of thought that was a neat aspect to his powers. And he actually even dimension jumped one time where he went over to the Wildstorm universe for a little while.
That's right, he did, didn't he?
And I kind of thought that was a neat aspect. I don't know if it's gone, but I'm looking forward to – God, I can't believe I'm saying this about a J.T. Krull book, but I'm looking forward to seeing the next book. Will I buy it? On the fence.
Mm-hmm. I gave it a 3 out of 5 as well.
Yeah, so, maybe this is the book he's supposed to be writing.
Because it ain't
Green Arrow, so.
Well, now, he did step down since our last episode. I don't know if we talked about it or not. He did step down as Green Arrow writer at starting with issue 4 to write this. Okay. And Keith Giffen and Dan Jurgens are taking over Green Arrow as of issue 4.
Are they taking over as of issue 4 or is his last issue 4? I don't know. That's
They will start on issue 4.
Okay.
So actually his last issue is 3.
All right. Well,
so
good.
We will probably look at Green Arrow again at – which I don't know. If they keep the character the same, I don't know if it'll matter. But now the one thing I found interesting, and I'm sure you noticed it too, is these numbers that they're showing every so often.
Now what was that about? I didn't research it, so I didn't know what those numbers were.
You know, I haven't read anything about it.
Okay.
And I'm flipping through the pages now, trying to figure if it actually changes at all. But the first thing I thought of when I saw it is what they used to do in Spawn. With his power level. Now, I don't know if they kept it in the book. Yeah, it looks like the numbers are changing. It looks like it's 6574 in the background and then a whole, you know. Yeah, it is changing. It's building up.
Well, it's going up. It's not going down. Okay.
Yeah, it's going up as the book progresses. So that's interesting. I wonder if it has to do with his power levels or something. Yeah, 1250, 1207, I don't know. Yeah, because, okay, sure. One page it's 250, 15, 05, 46. Next page it's 250, 12, 07, 23. So it's fluctuating up and down. Okay, so that's really confusing.
It was still new reader friendly. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
There's enough mystery in there that people will go, okay, I want to see what happens next. Beyond number 2, we'll see. I mean, can J.T. Krull maintain past that? I don't know. I think maybe the art might be a little off-putting, given again, it seems this should be science fiction-y, and the art didn't seem very science fiction-y.
Yeah, I think Williams has done better than that too. It seemed. Rough in a couple spots. When they were talking, he was talking to that doctor. It was a little rough. But I definitely got a Dr. Manhattan vibe out of it, which, of course, is what, you know, Captain Atom was supposed to have been. Was supposed to have been that character, but that's a whole other podcast.
Well, and look at the cover. I mean, he's all translucent, you know, blue. He's blue, I mean, for Christ's sake. And
yeah.
They're clearly going for Dr. Manhattan vibe.
Yeah, not real. I'm not sure if I like the mohawk look though, but you know, whatever. And it looks like there's no costume. That's just, you know, he's just energy.
Well, he never had a costume before either. He actually had this like self-created shell.
Okay.
Around himself.
Okay. I thought it was more like a wildfire thing. Well, that's how they. I think, and I probably got that because. That's how they did it in one of the Justice League Unlimited he was in, I think. That's probably where I got that from. But anyway.
Yeah, no, in the original series when he got irradiated, he showed up and he was in this, you know, the shell,
right.
Which was his own body. So, in any case, Krull surprised us. We both admit he, you know. He's not the crap writer that we've made him out to be.
I was surprised. He definitely did a better job, and I'm glad you know, that he, you know, was able to let Green Arrow go in and give us, you know, put his full attention into that.
I'm curious about some of the you know, I mean, they had a volcano in the middle of freaking, what was it, Manhattan?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
That's I'd be interested to see what they do about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That seemed a little extreme, but well, again.
Trust. Okay. Well.
Correct.
Here is our first controversial issue of the podcast, Catwoman number one. We'll try to keep this clean as possible. You might want to take the kids out of the room right now.
It'll be cleaner than the book.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely be cleaner than that. Yeah. If you're, you know, under this is was this T plus or T?
Don't know.
Let me look. Here we go. This was Team Plus. Well, that's good.
No kidding.
That is the way it should be.
Okay. Let me
jump
me
in. I'm still kind of flabbergasted that they did this, but you know, whatever.
Okay. I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Really?
I really did. Yes, over the top. The sex and the sexiness and the whole, basically her boobs were being shown the whole freaking issue. I see that.
Not that I have anything. I find there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
There is nothing wrong with it. And I think that if kind of in the vein of Morrison's Action Comics, going back to the original or the early presentations of the character, she was, again, for the time, she was actually a fairly sexual-driven character.
Mm-hmm.
They've updated it, and again, they've maybe gone a little too far into like the CSI Miami territory with it, you know, where every woman has her boobs hanging out. But I wouldn't share with my daughter. I wouldn't share with any other little girl.
No.
I didn't mind it. I liked the dialogue. Surprisingly, it was a little repetitive at points.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the scene with her and Batman at the end was a little stretched out, maybe a little too long. It's sort of like that scene in Moonlighting where finally David and Maddie end up kissing, where it just keeps going and going and going. But I liked it. Probably for the second time since reading anything with Catwoman that I actually like a Catwoman story.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the controversy. It's over the top. People are, you know, disappointed that they over-sexualized her, but come on. She dresses like a freaking cat. People loved it when Michelle Pfeiffer did it.
Yeah.
And Batman Returns.
You know, that's kind of that's a good point. That is a good point.
That was her whole shtick. She licked him in the face in that movie.
And to tell you the truth, I went back and forth on my rating because I think I originally had it a 3 and then put it back down to 2.5 because not that I don't have a problem with the sexuality of it. I just – the way they portrayed Batman, I didn't really care for. And, you know, I'm a big Batman fan, so with a grain of salt. I liked it though. In fact, I'm going to let my wife read it and see what she thinks. She's big into romance. So this is kind of a, you know, another strong female character. Kind of made me, I liked it. I don't know. The thing I have the problem with is that she's a thief, and that's still, I still have that stories about villains, which she's really not a villain. She's kind of like an anti-hero, I guess you could say. So 2.5, 3. I actually liked it.
So. And to backtrack, just FYI, Murray thought Captain Atom sucked.
That's right. We keep
forgetting that. But he agreed with you on Catwoman. He gave it a 3. She's not going to be checking out any future issues unless someone says something completely awesome about it. But You know, Judd Winnick is, you know, doesn't usually impress me with his writing, but yeah.
And he has a history of not dancing around the sex subject, so.
Oh, yeah.
The way he did in The Outsiders, that wasn't a big deal, too, so.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll be back for a second issue, but I'll definitely check it out.
I'm kind of on the fence on that. I'm not really sure if I'm going to pick it up again. I might get a trade of it later on.
It was kind of new reader friendly, though. I mean, honestly.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, someone liked the Catwoman character from the second Batman movie. I know that's dating. You know, it's going back to what 90, something like that. But
yeah, and they did have movies back then, children.
Talkies, yeah. In color.
That's right.
You know, if they like that version of the character, or even I'm trying to think of a more recent portrayal of her. There really hasn't been one, has there? I mean, in the cartoon.
No, but your Michelle Pfeiffer reference. That's a very good point. So
if someone like that, or if they, you know, if they like, you know, like the Charlie's Angels movies, where they, you know, they play up the sexuality, but they, you know, they're strong female characters. Maybe this would be something for them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't think of who I would recommend it to, but I wouldn't not recommend it. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've obviously, because at one point in the Batman comics, Bruce Wayne, you know, Batman did reveal his identity to Catwoman, you know. So they've gone back to that. She says she doesn't have any idea who he is, and she doesn't care.
But she also says she also says that he doesn't know who she is, which I thought was interesting.
She doesn't think.
Oh, okay. Good point.
Yeah, which I'm sure he does.
Okay. But that kind of implies that he's never caught her before, that he's never – you know, in the previous versions, he has put her in jail a couple of times, and there's an implication here that he's never done that with her.
Yeah, that's just true. Well, I don't know. I think I got the impression. No, she says specifically, this isn't the first time that they've done this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right there it says, this isn't the first time. Usually it's because I want him. Tonight I think it's because I need him.
Am I popcorning here, by any chance?
What do you mean? Oh, no, you're fine. Up.
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up?
Yes.
No, you sound fine.
No, you're breaking up now. It's you this time.
Okay. Well, I'm the one doing the recording, so I don't know how to handle it.
No, that's better. No, it's better now. It's better.
Okay.
Back.
You're back?
No, you're back. You're back.
All right. Okay. All right, then. Crisis averted. Now, where were we? but anyway, yeah. Definitely, she says, this isn't the first time. So, which, to really, if you really get right down to it, these two characters have been dancing around this for 70 years. Now, whether they have ever gone this far, they've never shown it. And, of course, on Earth 2, they had a kid and were married. So, why not? You know, to all those people that were freaked out about it, why not? Which I admit I was for a little bit, but I'm over it now.
Yeah, I think the controversy on this one was blown out. So.
Okay, now you're getting scratchy.
Okay.
How about now?
Oh, yeah, you're fine. Yeah, I think it is blown out of proportion, too. But the people that want DC to fail, they're going to find something to gripe about anyway. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that got bent out of shape when there was – Tea Party comments in the Captain America comic and the, you know, all the other crap that everybody freaks out about. I mean, of course somebody's going to freak out about this. I mean, that's just the way it goes. That's part of the deal.
Comic book.
Yeah. Well, you know, comic books are important, man. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
So.
All right.
Next up, we've got... DC Universe Presents, number one. Now, I actually like that myself. Paul Jenkins. You know, I've become a Dead Man fan. I never read any of the old stuff, and I kind of want to hunt that down now. It's a good way to bring it in. Bernard Chang. The art was good for the most part. You still there?
I'm here. Okay. Here. I just had to move my microphone a little bit.
Okay. I thought I heard you cut out.
Nope.
But I liked the kind of going through the origin and what he's got to do, which I don't know if that was ever part of it before. I haven't really followed it. I know the character, but not, you know, and Ananda. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't remember that. And again, I would need to, like you, like read some of those past stories. I don't remember the Ramakrishna character ever specifically saying, hey, you have to reach a certain balance.
Right.
In order to move on. I think there was always that, hey, you have to accomplish a goal and then I'll let you move on. But this almost says that, hey, look, there is an end point here. It's somehow.
Right. Yeah, I've never I don't know. And they did a Vertigo series of Dead Man, so I don't know if any of that's in here or not. So
I don't know either, man.
Yeah. So, but I like it a lot better than the throw in with no explanation portrayal from
Hawk and Dove.
Yes. My mouth wouldn't form the words.
Yeah, it was tough to say, but it was a reality, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
I gave it a 4. Yeah. I really did. I enjoyed it. It was new reader friendly. I liked the philosophical stuff that was discussed there. Some people, like Murray, thought it was a little too talky, but
Which surprises me because, you know, he even said once he likes words, just good words. So I guess he didn't think it was good words.
And again, given what I, you know, he seems to be reading a lot. I was a little surprised about his comments.
Did we mention what he said about Captain Atom?
Yeah, we said that he didn't like it.
Yeah, this is 1 out of 5. So, yeah.
If I knew someone who was like into philosophy a little bit, or you know, looking at different ways of looking at the afterlife, I would pass this book on to them. I actually have somebody in mind that I might give it to, and see whether she likes it or not. Mm-hmm. A chick of all things. We'll see. And it had the circus stuff in it. It didn't mention. With circus though, which I thought he was part of.
They mentioned that they were in the same one together, but he wasn't a ass like he was in the Flashpoint series, and as they're showing him here, when he was in the Nightwing year one, he was actually a somewhat nice guy and was actually friends with Dick and his parents. So that's a little different than
Haley Circus. Yeah,
Haley Circus. Right. Yeah. The one that Dick was in. So, so that's where that goes.
Well, again, it is a very open book if you're willing to read words and this is a thinking book. I mean, there's no question about that. This is not high on action.
Yeah, words are your friends, people.
Yeah.
So anyway,
a book only hurts if it hits you.
Exactly. Well, all right. With the exception of Hawk and Dove, that did hurt.
Painful. Okay.
All right, moving along. We're talking about Green Lantern Corps, number one. Peter J. Tomasi, Fernando Passerin, and Scott Hanna. Well, as we all know, I'll just start off. I'm a big Green Lantern fan, though I do admit, like Paul from the Legion podcast and a few others, well, especially Brian Deemer from the Comic Geek Speak and a few others, that even I am starting to get a little burned out on Green Lantern. But I still like this book, even though depending on how you view things, the team plus thing with the gore at the beginning, I liked it. I have to say it, but I've become a Guy Gardner fan. I never thought I'd ever say that.
No.
Guy Gardner fan. He and, you know, John Stewart. Well, I always liked John Stewart, but just an interesting book. I like how there's like, oh, we got to find something to do on Earth, and I thought that was an interesting take.
I think it's interesting. They can't seem to figure out what the hell to do when they're not Green Lanterns, whereas with Hal Jordan, as Green Lantern, that was always a big part of it, that he was able to balance out being Green Lantern with Hal Jordan. Mm-hmm. These two can't seem to figure it out.
Yeah, it might have to do with the fact that they never kept their identity secret.
And that's talked about in this book. They even say it's our own damn fault.
And maybe that was the writer's way of saying, we're going to be in space.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to see how they interact with people and, on Earth, then, you got the wrong book. That might have been his way of doing it, though they could have shortened it just a little bit. I watching John make those people drop in the elevator.
And actually, that was one of my least favorite parts of the book.
It was a little overdone, I think.
I like the Guy Gardner stuff when he's trying to get a job at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
More than I like the stuff where John was trying to make a point. He's trying to say, well, you're going to do things that are right for the community.
Has he really lost that touch with humanity that much that to know people are, I don't know. But, yeah, I thought that it was a little much. I will admit that. But, it didn't take long for us to jump right into the book.
Yep.
And, like I said, I'm a Guy Gardner fan. It's hard to believe he's a real pain. But if anybody behind you when a fight starts, that's who you want on your side. Because when him and Kyle were together in this book, I really liked the way that worked out. So.
Oh, much better. Yeah, and it was a good introduction. It's a good new reader-friendly book. I mean, everyone coming into this might be looking for Hal Jordan. They're not going to get him here, apparently. It's going to be these two guys.
Yeah,
eventually they might. But
he never was in the first series either, or the last.
Right, except with the big crossovers and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is clearly going to be John and Guy. It's a shame that that John can't ever be his own solo character again. But whatever.
Well, they tried that once and it didn't take. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not coming back for a second issue, but it's only because, like you mentioned at the beginning, you're fried on the concept for the moment.
Well, it's funny that you should say that. Because I like this. I'll keep reading it because I like Peter Tomasi. But I saw a preview of the one with Kyle in it, and I'm not sure if I'm going to read that one.
What's it? The New Guardians book, right?
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about next week. So.
Yeah, there was a preview on Newsarama, and I'm not sure if I like how it's going to be, but we'll see. Should All be right. interesting. I will hold judgment until then.
Murray gave it a 2. Murray can't remember a thing about it except for the chopping up part at the beginning.
No, I don't have it in my notes, but I would say I'd give Green Lantern Corps a 3.
Okay.
Myself. I didn't write that in my notes, but that's what I would give it. But yeah. Next up. Well,
do we really want to talk about this book? Come on.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this is Legion of Superheroes number one, okay? anybody that knows us, listened to this podcast before, we're big Legion fans, heavy followers of Legion of Substitute podcasters, been on their 150th episode. Paul Levitz, Francis Portella, buy this book. Stop right now, go to the store, and go buy this book. If you've ever wanted to read the Legion of Superheroes, now's the time. We'll wait. Go get it.
I'm a fan of it as well. Apparently, not as big a fan of it as you, but I was a fan of it.
I'll backtrack. I was kind of kidding around a little bit.
I know.
I mean, I gave it a 5 out of 5 because it's Legion. So did Murray. Though I didn't agree with some of the way that Levitz wrote this issue. Just there was a couple things I thought off, like the whole deal with having the two new recruits out there in the woods waiting for somebody to pick them up. I didn't quite understand the logic behind that.
And right, okay, so they're and they're no one knows they're Legionnaires, but they have the big Legion symbol on their costumes.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that until just then.
Yeah. So, and I think maybe my faults with this book were more art storytelling, not with the art itself, which I thought was great. It was the storytelling with the art. The script was good. I liked that they put the character boxes there, which I think they should have been doing with a lot of these other books, by the way,
mm-hmm.
With the powers and stuff, which the only other book was the unmentionable book that did that.
Yeah.
I think they need to go back to
which
that.
Which is funny because when the Legion came out, all the other books the DC put out picked it up and started doing it, and I kind of liked it.
Yep. Yep. Johns, actually. I think Johns started it. Or no, but it was before Johns. It was Wade, I think, who did it over in when they did the three boot.
That's right.
Good stuff. And I enjoyed it. Again, there were some art slip-ups, though, that – brought mm-hmm. the score down to a 4. I was about to give it a 4.5, but
oh really?
Second read, I went, God, those are distracting. Mm-hmm. The transition when Chameleon Boy became the soldier, there was no transition there. All of a sudden, he was a soldier. I thought first read through, I thought it was another character who had walked into the screen.
Yeah. Now, if you look at the panel above it. His pants are turning into the uniform. So it's the way the way it was drawn, it looks like he's got, you know, not matching costume, but he was actually in the middle of the transition right there. So I can understand you missed that.
Yeah, and then the thing and then the script part where, you know, Levitz clearly states, hey, no one here knows that you're Legionnaire, so you don't need to be, you know, you don't need the image distorters. But then the artist, he puts the big L symbol on these two characters. Like,
yeah,
okay, fine, whatever.
I'm just kind of surprised that he did that because that's just like bad tactics.
There's that too.
I mean, that makes absolutely no sense. Why bring them along if they're just going to let them sit out in the middle of? Yeah, I don't understand it at all. Not too fond. Of Colossal Boy not being in the Legion anymore. He's always one of my favorites.
Well, we don't know. I mean, he got genuine character screen time here, and it'll be interesting.
This is true. Yeah.
And apparently he resigned. I mean, it's sort of implied when later in the script it says that they took care of some death stuff and some resignation, so that I assume that was him that they're talking about.
Something I didn't even catch, and I listened to the Legion podcast today, but if you look, they're putting up statues, and there's Dawnstars and Telos there.
And Wildfires is there as well.
See, I don't see that.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, I see it up there in the top right corner. Okay, mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah, they think they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
They think those seven characters that are in Legion Lost from last week.
Yeah.
As far as they're concerned, they're all dead. And even Brainiac says it to Mon-El. He says, you know, we've lost more Legionnaires on your watch than anybody else.
Yeah.
So seven, you know, I don't know if you're as considered a Legionnaire or not, but. You know, there's seven characters died plus one quitting. Or 8 with Earthman. 8 characters dying
mm-hmm.
and at least one quitting. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're talking about the art thing. You got – and they brought that up on Legion podcast too, that you got Lightning Lass standing there with Shrieking Violet, but her symbol is a feather instead of a lightning, which – like, okay, what happened there? You know, did your powers get screwed up again?
We don't know.
And Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl are absent. And they even made a comment about not having a telepath, too. So,
story points. There's Levitz playing the long mm-hmm. game.
Yeah, and I know I've heard – that's one of the things that seems like I've had a theme and listening to other people talk about these things on the CGS and on their boards is a lot of people seem to not like they want everything explained to them just right out of the bat. It's like, I don't quite, like, Legion Lost, they ripped that up on the CGS podcast. I don't know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, I kind of like trying to figure it out myself. I mean, not that they're wrong. That's just my, you know. Anyway.
Well, and to a point, I agree with them. I mean, it's if we want to expand the reader audience for comic books, you have to, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily aim at the lowest common denominator, but mm-hmm. you have to assume mm-hmm. from, you know, that every issue is someone's first issue, and
yeah.
if you throw someone in cold into something, they're and without at least some context.
Yeah.
They may not come back. There's a lot of context in this one, though. I grant it. A lot more yeah. than I thought in Legion Lost.
Well, I could kind of see that on Legion Lost, because that's one of the things I had a problem with. Even as a Legion fan, I had, you know, what the hell's going on? But mm-hmm. I'm willing to at least put the time in. A lot of people on the CGS podcast, it's like, okay, I don't know what's going on. I'm not reading it again. Almost everybody gave it a pass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pants or a bar or whatever.
Yeah. They got buy, borrow, or pants is how they do it. And pants means no, didn't like it. I don't want to read another one. Even if somebody lets me borrow, look at the issue, I don't want to. So that they all of them but one was that way. And the other mm-hmm. one was a borrow. So they all didn't like it.
Now they'll like this one, I have a feeling.
Yeah, I think this is a better gateway into the Legion than the other one is, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, strong 4 for me. Not quite a 4.5. Again, it was just some of the distractions with the art.
Yeah, actually, I kind of take that back. I did give it a 4. So.
Okay. Yeah. And the script was strong. That the mm-hmm. plot was strong.
Except for that, you know, vacationing lovers thing.
I can see where that would irk a little bit. I was kind of curious about that choice for those characters, but
yeah, it's almost like, well, I've got to use these, but it seems like Levitz is like a character he doesn't want to deal with. He just like, okay, well, you know, you're dead or whatever he does, like they did with Tyrak back in the 70s. He's on a island that's forever in another dimension, so we don't have to deal with Tyrak ever again, you know. That I don't think that was him, but that seems like these two characters have to be in here, but I don't want them with the Espionage Squad or whatever. So, but anyway, that was my biggest problem with it.
Okay. Well, we'll be back for issue number 2 and 3 and 5 and, yes. and 100 or however far it gets before it gets rebooted.
You put a Legion book out, I'm going to buy it, just so you know.
And next month there's 4.
Yeah, I know. I ordered 3 or 4 of the Secret Origin ones just so I could get the rings.
The rings? Jeez, okay.
Even though I have an actual metal one,
yeah,
but still.
We've seen the pictures.
I know. I like to brag about that. But anyway.
All right. Next book.
Nightwing number 1. You want to go first?
I sure do. 3.5. Good script. It mm-hmm. flowed really well. It was very new reader friendly.
Yes.
But my one problem with this book, it wasn't very much fun. It didn't feel fun. Yeah. Like I wanted more smirking. I wanted more, you know, the way that Dick Grayson was portrayed in Batman. I wanted mm-hmm. maybe it's because I read that one first or something. I don't know. I wanted more of that type of Dick Grayson, and I didn't get that from this book.
I can see where you'd say that. Yeah.
I'd like to see more of the circus stuff. Hey, hold on just a sec. Oh, sure. Go ahead with your side. I'm sorry.
Well, as I've said before, I'm a big Nightwing fan. And I know from talking to Kyle Higgins on Twitter back right after this was announced that he's a big fan too, and I think he brought back this is obviously Nightwing, Dick Grayson's voice in this. Mm-hmm. And I like how they talked about he was Batman for a while. And I think that might be a part of why it's maybe he's not the joking like he was yet, because he just was Batman. It might take a while for him to get out of that.
You know, I like that they, I liked it that finally it's been addressed, because that aspect, I know it wasn't addressed in Batman and Robin, and it certainly wasn't addressed in Batman or in Detective. So I'm glad they finally said yes, there was in fact a period where he was Batman.
And I saw a preview of the first couple of pages of Teen Titans, where Red Robin's going to be, or Tim Drake,
mm-hmm.
And it looks like they address that too in there, which I was glad to see.
Cool.
Because I don't know if you read the last issue of Red Robin.
No.
But they left Tim in a very bad place. They made it look like he actually quit being altogether. And then things happen where he has to get back in, which makes sense from the way the character was first written. He didn't want to be a superhero forever. You know, at the time when he was adamant about not being Batman. Of course, you know, that changed later on. But anyway, I really like the circus stuff. This is a great book. I'm really looking forward to this. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay, well, and again, I would say good for Batman fans, good for fans of just, you know, kind of adventure TV.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm trying to think of some of the shows like that. All of a sudden I'm blanking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe Burn Notice kind of stuff where, you know,
mm-hmm.
the guy is physical but also thinking man. I'll give it a second look. I'm not as on board with this version, at least yet.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted more. I don't know. That's something I expect from my Dick Grayson, is a smirk. And
yeah. I didn't even think about that till you mentioned it. But it's like I said, I just think he's so new off of being, you know, Batman, and he just might not have got out of that yet. Because, I mean, that gave him away a couple of times in the Batman comic when he would smile.
Did it?
Yeah, in fact, that's how, like, Two-Face figured out it wasn't Bruce Wayne anymore. Of course, he knew, you know, that he was Bruce Wayne in that. And that happened somewhere in there. So he knew that it wasn't Bruce because there was a picture of him on TV and he was smiling when he was fighting. So
you're sounding weird here again.
Yeah, you are too, actually.
Uh-oh. It's all of us.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me pull my headphone again. Let me try. Maybe it's just...
Let me make sure I don't have anything downloading in the background, too. 1 minute.
We're good on my side, too. It might be this headphones. I may need to get a new headset. Okay.
All right, how you sounding now?
Fine.
Okay, all right.
Fine.
Moving on then. That's enough about that.
The book.
What did
the book.
3 out of 5 from
Murray.
Murray says it warrants a reread. Isn't much sticking with me.
Okay.
Yes. Red Hood and the Outlaws. Here we go.
Let me start by saying that for some reason Murray gave this a 5.
Yeah, okay. He said, seriously, it was 5 with like 47 pluses. Seriously, it was just that good. Favorite book of the week. Cannot wait for the second issue. I was giggling through the whole issue. I'm not crazy about the new Starfire, but new DCU. I'm totally on board this train until there ain't no more train.
The reason I didn't give this 1 is because I didn't think the art was as bad as in Hawk and Dove. That's the only reason this didn't get a 1 for me.
Well, see, I was the first time I read this, I was on a 3 for this. But as I thought about it and read, and then I don't know why the Starfire stuff didn't faze me really for the first time until I thought about it. So I brought it down to a 2. I mean, this book is fun, and if they took Starfire completely out of the book, I would be a 3. Even though that they actually killed people. Now, a lot of people had a problem with her promiscuity. Oh, which that reminds me, I'm looking at the bikini scene. This was, according to Bleeding Cool, they had a picture of her coming out of the water, and her bikini was see-through.
Ha!
That was the original, and apparently there was some internal debate about that, and that's what they fixed that, and that brought it back down to a T. Which, you know, that just shows you the contradiction that America has with that kind of stuff. It's okay to show a bunch of people in turbans getting killed, but to show a gorgeous alien woman's boobies, that causes a problem.
And I had nothing wrong with the poses. As a matter of fact, and I really liked
Roy
Harper and Jason Todd stuff was really great. I hate what he did with her character, with the Starfire character.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely despise it. Mm-hmm. And again, the only reason this didn't get a one was because the art was good. And those poses were awesome. The pinup pages were great.
Yeah, the art was really good. The other thing I had a problem with was Red Hood having a bat symbol.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Which is funny because I think I saw in an interview with the writer that he's going out of his way not to mention Batman. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that it was part of the logo on the book.
I know. They're throwing that in there. And, I mean, considering their history, I don't think that character would do that. But he's obviously doing that on purpose.
I didn't see that. So on his costume, he actually has a bat. Okay, well.
Yeah, it's a red bat symbol.
Interesting. Okay, I have to relook at it.
They don't ever, because he's got that jacket on, so it kind of hides it, but it's there.
Okay.
It's obviously a bat.
I'll have to look again. As soon as I hit those pages of the Corey, I just was like, holy crap.
Yeah, now, okay, well, we'll address that. The whole memory thing I thought was completely stupid. It didn't need to be done. She's always been like that sexually anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, when she was in the Rebels, she slept with Captain Atom more than once. I'm trying to think. Of course, there was a big deal when they first showed her and Dick Grayson in bed in the Teen Titans back in the 80s.
But she was essentially, for all intents and purposes, she was monogamous in this story. In this story, he presents her as whatever. We all look the same. We all, you know, she could be sleeping with a woman for all she cares. Apparently, you know, she has she been on Earth that long? According to this, not very long for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just disregards so much history with this character, and the only saving grace is that it's all a ploy that at some point it's going to come out that, you know, it's not her, or something's wrong with her. I don't know, but
yeah, I hope they fix that because even Gail Simone said it sucked.
Yeah, well,
on a message board apparently she released that you know, and we didn't even note that Roy's got his arm back. So
well, and thank goodness for that. Maybe they haven't killed his daughter. Maybe they'll bring Leanne back. I will.
Well, he might not even have one. That seems to be relationships and children seem to be the legacy stuff like that seem to be the first casualty.
They do seem to be. Now that you mention it,
because the Barry isn't married anymore, and you know,
neither's Clark.
And he's Lois? He's a lot younger, it seems, in here than he was before.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point. Okay, well, I just did that. They should, you know, Roy Harper's like mentioning all the Titans' names. She's like, mm-hmm. Who? It's like,
yeah.
No, these are.
It was stupid. It really was.
New Teen Titans is a huge part of DC Legacy.
Yeah.
Huge.
They just released a $75 omnibus with the first 2 years in it, for crying out loud.
Plus the book that I don't want to talk about this week, maybe next week or the week after, but that hardcover. I mean,
yeah.
For goodness sake, it's whatever. I'm disgusted. I mean, I don't pull that out much, but it really.
No, I agree with you.
So, if you are a fan of Cheesecake, if you are a fan of buddy books or buddy movies, it's a great buddy team up between Red Hood and Arsenal, or Red or whatever he's calling himself.
Or if you're between 13 and probably 18, and you like to see gratuitous cheesecake, this is probably the book for you. So.
Oh, it's all over the book. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's, you know, hey, I have no problem with it at all. In fact, I prefer that over the, you know, showing quote unquote heroes killing people. I have a problem with that. You know, I'm old school. What can I say?
Well, and these guys are portrayed as heroes, but they kill. So.
And they had killed in the past. So,
yes.
And
all three of them.
So, yes, all three of them, exactly. So that's not a very far stretch.
Well, Murray, you're wrong. Sorry.
Hey, no. Let's not get into the Brian Deemer thing where you're wrong, you know.
Okay. Very good point.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, next up is Supergirl number one. Michael Green, Mike Johnson, Mahmoud Asar, and Dan Green. I was actually surprised with this. I didn't think I was going to like it. I actually gave it a 3 out of 5. Though I'm like Murray, which I think he gave it a 3 out of 5, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Redoing her origin from scratch again. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, I don't know. This just wasn't for me. I had nothing wrong with it. It's a fine book. Not a lot happened in it.
And the boots are stupid. Too bad. But that's a whole nother thing. Go ahead.
I know. She shows up. She has a fight. Superman shows up at the end. I just now encapsulated the whole book. That was it right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the sun came up and she got powers.
There you go. Oh, yeah. And that was the thing. How did her powers get stronger just because the sun actually broke the horizon?
I don't know. Obviously, I read the writers of this say that exposure to sunlight is different. They're making it where it's different for each Kryptonian and race and age and blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Well, it was a little confusing. It was a little confusing, sort of like Legion Lost confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not to that level.
She was confused too, so.
Yeah. I wouldn't give this to a new reader. I don't know. It just wasn't for me. The art was nice. It was pretty.
Yeah, I agree.
The action sequences were very well choreographed. The dialogue was okay, but I don't know. Again, do we really want? I mean, did we need to see her rebooted this dramatically? Maybe because they're rebooting the Superman character. Maybe that's why they had to go this route.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, just like they did with Superboy, they kind of said, okay, we're gonna maintain some of the original.
Well, I still think the reason that the super characters are the ones that are changed the most is the lawsuit with the Siegel.
Okay.
Or I think it's the Siegel.
Siegel and Shuster, yeah.
The Siegel family.
Yeah.
That's why they couldn't use the word Superboy for a while. Why they killed Connor Kent off back then. I mean, it seems like I think I've mentioned this before. It seems like I read that the latest thing was the costume is what they had the rights on. And of course, what's the biggest change in Superman is the costume. So that's just, you still there?
I'm here. No. I just muted so I can say goodnight to one of my kids.
All right. That's fine.
Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, that's what I think. This is all about. I think that's why they're the ones that are so, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm
that's
I'm
just
not
conjecture on my part and things I've read, but if you really think about it and look at it, there's a lot of evidence there. So.
Well, I'm not coming back for a second, but that's
you know, I'm probably not either. I don't really think I want to go through another reboot. I mean, it hasn't been that long since the last one.
Nope.
So, yeah. I think I'll pass.
All right.
Maybe trade. Who knows? But I gave it a 3.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.5, so.
It's okay.
Yeah, not bad, not great.
Okay. Now, last one. Wonder Woman number 1.
Wonder Woman.
Brian Azzarello. Oh, by the way, to note, without pants. They finally. I have it in my hand, so it's actually no pants because I know they for back a while there, which I'm sure I think even Jim Lee made a joke about it in San Diego. You know, some promo art had her pants, some didn't. In fact, you go on DC Comics blog, it's got that thing that was supposed to be on the cups. She has pants on.
Okay.
So she has no pants in this issue, and I think that's what's it actually going to be. You want to go first? Or?
Sure, sure. Right. And actually, I was going to do something after this, but after we're done with this, I'm going to have to bail. Just
right, that's fine.
Stink eye. No, that's I gave it 3.5.
Yeah.
It was a good-looking book. Despite what I'm seeing on other people saying, I would not actually give this to new readers. I didn't find it very new reader friendly.
Probably not.
Yeah, and it was a little gory.
It was way gory. It should have been a T plus, in my opinion.
A horse getting its head cut off, and then someone crawling out of the carcass of the horse. Yeah. A little nasty.
And when you look at their difference between a T and a T plus, it's 13 or older for T and 16 and older for T plus. I think it would be better. I mean, of course, that's, you know, as Paul says, it just depends on your children.
Yeah, of course, and I wouldn't give it to my 8-year-old. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that I'm interested to see what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me. If I was coming in cold on this, where's the stars and stripes? Where's the where's the blocking bullets with the bracelets? Et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
it's just not there.
She blocked some arrows.
Some arrows, yes, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't see enough of what people who had never read a comic book would expect from Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's not an unknown quantity.
True.
You know, she's not a Nightwing. She's not the Legion. She's not Deadman.
Mm-hmm.
She is a known quantity. She's probably one of the. I would probably hazard a guess. She's a top 20, well known fictional female character. Visually. Mm-hmm. And it just – I think they should have brought more of that stuff in. Again, I'm interested to see what happens next, though. I really am.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what did you rate it?
3.5.
I gave it a 3. Okay. I really liked it. I've said it, many times. I've never really – I mean, I've read first issues before. The last first issue I read, this is a lot better. It pulled me in, and I'm actually looking forward to reading this. I'll probably read it for a little bit anyway.
Because
I really like his writing.
Yeah, and the art was – I thought the art was very appropriate for the story that was being told.
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of gritty, gory. Again, kind of almost – I think one of the early things you were saying about that he was aiming this as not a superhero book but more of a horror book.
Yeah, exactly. And there that's it definitely, is. Definitely it, yeah.
Murray hated this. He gave it a 1. Or no, I think he upped his rating. But
yeah, that's right.
Initially, he gave it a 1. Bumped it up a little more probably, I think, because of the art.
2.5, yeah.
There you go. I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I would share it with. At least maybe when it's collected, maybe when the whole first arc is over, maybe it's something I would share, but not as is.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
I'll tell you, though, this week, looking at my scores, this was the strongest week so far.
Absolutely. Mine too.
I gave it, an average score for the week of 3.6 as opposed to week 1, which was 3.2. Last week was 3.3. Mm-hmm. That's just, averaging out the score. Maybe if there had been a 13th book, it might have dragged it down. Who knows?
Yeah, that would have been Justice League.
Which Justice League going forward is going to be plugged into this week. I noticed that.
Yeah, it has to be, yeah.
It is now a week 3 book starting in October. So.
Which it should have been in the first place, I think.
Yeah.
Action Comics is the one they should have started with, which we've already mentioned. So,
which one? Oh, Action. Yeah.
Comics should have been the very first one. I'm surprised they didn't do that for just sentimental value, anyway.
Or even Batman. But that's just because it's by far the strongest book that they've put out.
Absolutely.
So far. So, again, a really good week. A couple books that I'd be willing to share. A couple books that, you know, at least one or two that I wouldn't, but I'm going to come back for.
I'm gonna
hunt up extra copies of Batman. I don't have a ton of, you know, disposable right now, but I'm going to use a couple of those disposable dollars on extra copies of this
and
book.
What you could always do, too, is when the price goes down on Comicology, you could always gift them, too.
You know, and I, future issues, if I've got someone hooked in, I might push them that way. But it's easier, especially, you know, for multiple shares, to give them a copy and then have them give it back, or even say, hey, pass this on to someone.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. I thought you meant give, but yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, it's sort of a pass around copy. You really those Comicologies, you really can't pass around. And we completely disregarded the whole digital thing the last couple of weeks, which shows that while digital is going to be strong, it's clearly still a strong print medium.
Well, and I think both of us have mentioned in the past we're more of a print medium kind of person anyway. People, I know. I think Darren is going all digital with this, so. Darren from the Legion podcast, but I'm not really clear on that, but it seems like that's what he meant, and I know several of my friends are. So,
well, and again, I will. The one thing I'm going to do this week is when I give the books out, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to grab up some extra business cards from my LCS, my local comic store.
Good
idea. I'm going to staple
idea.
Them in there, and then I'm also going to figure out some way that I can get, you know, print up something that has Comixology in it and put it in there as well. So,
good idea.
I'm not going to go overboard, but the whole idea, new readers. As long as there's new readers coming in, you and I will still have comics to read in a few years.
Exactly. Yeah, because, you know, worst comes to worst, we can always break into the long boxes and see what I did there? Turn it right back.
Yeah, and we're only a couple weeks away from having to do that anyhow. So.
Yeah, this is true. Though Marvel did put stuff out, and there, believe it or not, there are other companies out there. In fact, if we were going to talk about other stuff, I have a couple of books here I was going to mention, but that's fine. We can save that for another episode.
Yeah, next week. Sorry, I'm getting the stink eye.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
All the fathers out there will understand what I mean.
Yeah.
or husbands that whose wives are less understanding than yours.
Well, you know, she's got her romance novel, so she's all good. I gotta be careful because she can see me from where I'm sitting.
And my wife can hear me from where I'm standing. So, all right. Well, I'm gonna bail. Everyone, a strong week. Honestly, they're not really. I think maybe one stinker in the bunch, and it was more of a taste thing for me. The rest of them, all decent books. Even Captain Atom, J.G. Crawl pulled it out from me. So.
Yeah, I have to admit, he did.
Okay. I'm going to go, Chris. I will talk with you later in the week, I'm sure.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, thanks. And see you next week.
Absolutely. Good night, man.
Night.